Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
Well, gave me a bit of a run around getting in today. It wanted me to sign in somehow or
It's been a pain in the ass
yeah.
lately, between the passwords and the waiting rooms and the signing in.
Yeah. It mostly just I said I wanted to sign in with Google and then it created an account for me. I ended up not having to do a password at all. So if anyone else is having problems, they should. Oh, here's Zach. Okay. Nice. Hi.
Hey, I bet John is having problems because he seems just to be prone to that. And
Computers have it in for him.
yeah.
Okay, well, we like keep an eye on the thread because I'm sure he'll leave us a note.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna settle in then because I just got back from the shop. Downstairs, downtown, and I got a coffee and a little drink, chocolate drink.
Well, you ventured out into the outside world. It's cool.
Yeah, well, I fortunately live just like 5 blocks from Main Street of our city, and it's the downtown, the old, like the historic, quote unquote historic, downtown area. And so there's coffee shops and pubs and little like a little grocery store that sells bulk food. It's called Simply Bulk, and they also stock some items from like local farms and sort of health. I'm putting everything in quotes. Healthy drinks. Anyway, yeah, it's nice to be able to get out. I'm definitely trying to. I definitely take my walks almost on a daily basis. That's how I stay sane.
Well, this is exciting.
I listened to your video again this afternoon just to and jotted down my favorite lines and things like that. So,
You feeling, Marco?
I'm ready for whatever you have to say. I think I was maybe a little bit more touchy about it last time we met, and maybe in the lead up. But just the act of getting it out and having it heard and feeling a sort of partial completion, because it's something that is I've been laboring and perhaps belaboring for quite a while, and there's a part of me that just wants to get it done, that just wants to be at the end of it already and have it out of me and be able to like move on in a way, because I have other work to do. I have other that's it's in a way it's like in the way of other in a, other perhaps even more important goals or projects or places to put my attention and my energy. So at the same time, I can't avoid it. I have to go through it and I have to live through it. And where I'm at now is I feel intuitively, and I could be painfully wrong about this, but I feel like the hardest part is done, and that I've kind of gotten enough, I figured out enough about the piece to sort of know how to write it, if that makes sense. Like, whereas I had to figure that out, I had to learn how to write it. And now that I more or less know how to write it, although it's still not totally a smooth or easy process, I can just continue doing what I'm doing, and that will eventually result in the poem being completed and getting that, that goal that I desire. And then there's the other part of it that's like, well, the real like wisdom like that is in the poem that like I'm in the process of unpacking has to do with like slowing down and appreciating what is present, and kind of sinking underneath the mental, like abstracted, like for future thinking or past thinking, that mind and coming into a more integral like relationship with reality and with you know, with all relations. So it's like writing the poem is, I have to learn the lesson as I'm writing the poem, and that which enables me to continue writing it and to you know, bring it to like some kind of completion. And yeah, so it's been, I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I'm wondering about John. I'm wondering if you maybe got the time zones mixed up. I tried to be super clear, but you know, these things get butted up very easily.
I think that's what happened last time.
I'm assuming you texted him, right, Marco?
I haven't texted him.
Just power.
But maybe I could, I wonder if I do think I have his text number. So let me go for that. Let me do that.
Just text his next door neighbor. Just get her to text or drag him to the computer.
What neighbors?
Hey John, maybe joining us.
Mary,
now.
Feeling in terms of whether you want to inaugurate this important session.
Like, do I have some
You want to start?
Ugh. Well, I get. Yes, sure. I don't mind being the first, but jump in. That's how I kind of see it. Like, I think last time we ended up like we gave ours. One person gave all the comments, and then the other person gave all their comments. But I feel like I want to hear reactions and discussions of my comments as we go.
All right, hold on one second, because John just text messaged me, so I'm going to try to get him like as direct a link into this meeting as I can, and hope that he can join us.
Yeah, mostly because actually I'm really hoping to learn from this session, because the whole concept of editing poetry. Oh, go ahead.
That was a mistake. I just renamed Zachary to myself.
You know, like more Marcos is a good thing, but
yeah, I don't want to step on anybody's toes.
Zachary to get him a Marco. Nice. Oh, how have things been going? How is all the other stuff that I know, busyness, projects?
Oh, well, so Kayla actually is in the middle of reworking the homepage.
Oh, cool.
To add in the editor's blog and the podcasts so that those appear like the most recent of each.
Nice.
And that required doing some kind of underlying structural changes with like the output of the theme, so sort of like upgrading it to a framework that can handle more sections. And she's gonna try to do that after this call while I make dinner. we may or may not get done, but I think, you know, we have like 2 weeks left in the submission period, and I've been feeling myself like inhibited or almost like stuck, not stuck, but just having other things in my way. Like,
oh yeah.
And, so I want to invite some specific people to contribute that mm-hmm. I think, you know, whose work I think would be good to, or who have contributed in the past and, might have something new, you know, at this time. I don't know, I guess I'll get to it like this week, you know. It's like we have people painting the house right now. There's a landscaper coming over later today. Like I have all this house stuff because we had to like rip up our yard at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Because our basement I've told this story before, but our basement was leaking and we had sewage water coming in and it was just a big expensive mess. And then we had to replace our sewer line, which had also, which was like 100 years old plus, and it was like cracked and leaked sewage, like a bog of it. There was a bog of sewage next to our house, underground, an underground bog. And then that was just before my dad died. So,
you just got hammered by what shall we do to Marco today?
Yeah. Okay. Means, of course. And then of course the pandemic and, my mom's living with us now. And so that's a whole saga unto itself.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing John yet. So
he did reply to you though, right?
Well, I said, try this, and, we haven't heard back. So I'm going to actually go into Zoom and see like the settings of this meeting, if there's like any way I can simplify this.
It's John, like,
he gets really annoyed. He gets really,
I mean, like, all technology is just inherently frustrating and hostile. I believe that. And you just kind of, I think it's beaten us all down so that we're all just willing to do a million things to get one thing done.
I know, it's a Faustian bargain. Okay. I'm logging into Zoom meetings. So what line are we on? Oh. All right, let's log into the other Zoom account. I feel like such a prisoner to technology because of like those dependencies, like that are kind of like irreplaceable, you know, just given current conditions, like not having access to like magic, you know, or other means
to get away. You're like exiled from the future.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm just confused about like even where this recording is. Like, I mean, where this big meeting is in the Zoom system. All right, so 997-5062-3544. Hmm. Okay.
My daughter got stung with a bee.
Oh my gosh. Is she okay?
She's fine, but it's happened before.
I mean, as long as you're not allergic, bee stings like hurt for a second and but the pain's really brief, like there isn't a lingering usually.
Yeah. And they can be quite good for the immune system. They kind of ramp things up and
does it?
Yeah, it can kind of, that's what, you know, AP, what is it, apitherapy. They do a lot of bee sting therapy in Japan and various other ways. Yeah, people cure themselves from various forms of autoimmune diseases with that. They kind of reset the nervous system. So anyway.
I had no idea that.
I've heard that it's protective against certain cancers and people who work with bees, like my wife's grandfather was a beekeeper and credited the bees for living to be like 90 to 97 or something years old.
Was he constantly getting stung?
I believe so. Yeah, we still have some of his honey, actually, in a bottle.
It lasts forever, eh? Because it's got antimicrobial properties, so it just doesn't, it never goes off.
Yeah.
Did John make it on? I heard a...
I don't see him.
Oh, yeah.
And he hasn't left any comments that I can see on the thread.
Here
you come.
Yes.
Hi.
Greetings, everybody. What?
Good to see you.
WTF.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You're great.
Okay, I can't see the screen.
Thanks for your persistence.
You just waived the login requirement because they wanted a new password for me. So I reset a new password. And then when I enter that password, they want an ID or a personal, something personal. And I don't know what I call myself on this. Unfortunately, I think there's some problem. Wait, can you see me?
Yeah.
We see. I can't see any of you.
Oh, that's odd.
Let me see if I can. Oh, okay. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry I'm late. I apologize profoundly, profusely. Deep humble.
That's not your fault.
What a humiliating experience for everyone. I know it's terrible when you're getting something started and someone's late or not there and you're worrying about them.
And we were just talking about beekeeping, actually.
About what?
About beekeeping.
Oh, okay. I'll join in whenever you guys are ready.
Yeah.
Well, that was because Zachary, your daughter, got stung by a bee.
That's right.
And that just happened very recently.
A minute ago.
Okay.
You just got stung by a bee? Is that what?
No, I was just sitting here listening to them and I hear this, you know, gut-wrenching cry from outside my door, this, you know, blood-curdling scream. So yeah. I run out and, you know, life as we know it is ending.
That's what it feels like.
I know that scream.
Yeah, right. So I'm excited for this. John, we were just, I think Mary, if you don't mind me summarizing, Mary was suggesting that our last meeting was a little, these are my words, staccato in terms of our feedback. And she was suggesting a more lyrical nature where there's more discussion around certain points. And I really appreciate that. And I'm certainly excited to jump into Marco's piece right away. So I don't know if you're feeling that's thrust is good for you.
Are you talking to Marco? Or who are you addressing?
I mean, are you ready to jump into Marco's work?
Yes. I by the way, I watched the last installment, the last episode, working with Zachary and with Mary's piece, and I read both of your pieces and got quite immersed in that. So I was extremely excited about working with you guys. And so that was interrupted last time. So I'm really grateful to have that opportunity again today to, because I made some notes and I thought a lot about what was happening between the three of you. So I could reflect on that a little bit later on perhaps. And then I watched the video, Marco's performance, and I also have read the text. And I have a lot of ideas about this that I want to share with Marco and with everybody else, and delighted to hear everybody else's response to this text as well. So thank you for this opportunity once again.
I would be okay to circle back to our stuff maybe afterwards. You know, I feel like obviously Marco's is first.
We definitely, I agree.
Mary, you want to tentatively just pick us up, Doc?
Yeah, I'll get started. What I was going to say earlier is that I'm really interested in this week because I've written some poetry but it's still kind of mysterious how one revises poetry for me. Like I can sometimes get a draft down on the page and I'm not necessarily happy with it. But I feel like I don't have a method of how to work on my own poetry and make it better. So I'm really looking forward to learning how other people do it so that I can use it for my own practice. So actually mostly what I did, Marco, I listened to it and I read it and I just jotted down my favorite parts, which I think like maybe will be good points to jump off on. I love the opening of part one, Against Origins, the whole in the beginning, and then the truth is there was never a beginning. That's just very cool. Another line, oh, I did want to mention too, it was so interesting to hear you read it, because I felt like there was, it disconnected me a little from the meaning of the words and helped me experience the sounds of them. Like as you were reading, how do I express this? I actually felt just like a little, like I'd been disconnected from what the words signified as words, and was able to connect with it as sound. So I'm curious about whether like that's part of your...
I would jump in. That's one of the pieces I'm going to mention that it felt like you were doing something, Marco. And I'm not going to, I've got a whole piece that I want to share about this in a certain order, but I will say it really felt like you were doing something quite special. And you mentioned it in your intro, what you were doing. And it felt like the poem was catalyzing that, but it was distinct from it.
Mm-hmm. Say a little bit more about that, distinct from it. In what way?
So I kind of felt like, you know, it really, you, I mean, it's, you're, you know, you're channeling the archetype. I mean, you're like an old druid, incanting an incantation. And it's taking you into a space. And at one point, the space and the energy and what was happening to you completely superseded the words and the poem itself for me, which I thought made it transcendent, right? Which was really, really interesting. But it really, the poem just faded into the background. I was just like, that was so terrestrial compared to what was happening to you. On the other hand, and this is going to be, there was an element, and we can talk about this in a little bit, but I really felt like there's something to do with the fact that it almost felt like I was voyeuristically watching you make love to the divine. And there was an element of that that made me uncomfortable. As if I almost wanted to see what it was for you to know what that is and then create a performance after the fact, as opposed to the raw, like in the moment. And I remembered as I was thinking about this, because it's kind of a nuanced thing, although I'm sure you're gonna get what you get from it. There's a movie, it took me a long time to find this thing. There's a movie called Being Julia. Maybe Johnny remembers it. It was a kind of an interesting movie with Annette Bening on stage acting and stagecraft. And she has this long-standing dialogue throughout the movie with her dead mentor as she's going through her life, talking about stagecraft in relation to her life. And there's this particular moment where, you know, he's saying to her, you got it this night. You know, this night you got it, about the emotion. But then it's about, at one point during the movie, about three quarters of the way through, something really breaks her heart in her life. And she brings that rawness, the brokenhearted rawness, to the performance. And he says, no, you were too in it. You were too in it. There was something there. And there was, so there's something to do with the fact that it felt very sacred. And I felt, frankly, very privileged. And something very special was taking place there. But in terms of performance, and I hope this comes across in the way that I'm intending it, which is to say, no disrespect to what you're doing whatsoever. It's not that. It's the fact that there's a performance is something different, because performance is for us. Mm-hmm. Whereas I felt like you were allowing us to experience something almost private.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, just deep honor and praise for that, because that was that, at least in the way that I understood it. But Yeah. I've got a few more.
I actually hear what you're saying, and you're touching on something that I feel like, and I felt about it. It was why I was a bit embarrassed to share it, but it was deadline. I didn't have a chance to redo it. And it was like, it takes a lot of energy. And that's the thing, to actually perform that piece. And, and it's not even like half of it. And so like there's a kind of athleticism that I'm developing and I have to kind of work on in order to be able to do that. But I also one aspect of the voice in the poem is like the witness and is like the kind of just cool like presence that's like not being swept away by the energy. And then there's the energy, which is kind of has a life of its own, sort of carries the action forward and carries the imagery and the musicality, the poetics are carried forward by the energy. And part of what I feel that like the balance that I'm trying to strike here, which is, you know, a future balance, because this is like an immature state of the piece that you're commenting on, but is that it's those two elements in a harmony, those two elements in this kind of functional tension, and so I don't feel that yet in my life. Actually, I don't feel that yet in my body. Like my I'm actually still working through it in my own life. And and that's why I think the poem is like alchemical for me. It's like that. It is something that I'm undergoing as a kind of self-birthing process, and at the same time, like an art birthing process.
Mm. I realize I have a whole thing that actually is going to break with your lyricism, Mary. I might wait because I realize I'd rather just say almost my entire piece all in one go. So I don't know, Johnny or Mary, if you have other bits to jump in with.
I can wait, but I can jump in too. It's up to you guys.
I didn't have a lot more. I wanted to point out a few lines that really did it for me, just so you know what my favorite bits were. Marco, I loved the line on page 2 where you said the heroic dose is all of me. It was a moment for me because I was very much in the flow, like I was feeling the words flow over me, and then that line was something that like jumped out of the flow and shook me up a little. I just love it because my understanding of heroic dose, I don't know if it matches with yours, but my association with it is like the amount of something that can kill you. Like it's when doctors. When doctors are like, oh, we've tried everything, we're going to do a heroic dose and see if we can cure you with this. And they give you something that's probably going to be fatal. So, was that, might not have been what you meant, but that's what it made me think of.
Is it also a little nod to Terence McKenna?
I don't know that. Who's Terence McKenna?
He's an ethnobotanist who, you know, took mushrooms and LSD all his life. And he was always talking about like, you throw down the gauntlet with like a heroic dose of mushrooms. It's like, if you really want to know the true nature of mind, 5 grams.
Wow. I didn't know about that. I just love that. Like identifying with like, the speaker says like, I myself am a heroic dose or something like that. That worked really well for me.
That's cool.
It's interesting. It's capitalized too.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I know this is sort of a challenging for all of us to find the right timing, because we may have something we want to share, but there's something we may want to hold back so others can come forward and share. And I know that Marco is going to put all of this together in his own unique way, this different kinds of feedback. And I am in search of a methodology for working in the virtual. So I'm going to digress a little bit. because I want to talk a little bit about that, because I think it's what this poem is about, actually. As we're all making a transition, and we're using this medium, and I feel that it's very complex what we're all going through as we make this transition. I'm thinking about theater, and I love the previous comments about the old Druid bard, and the about the lyrical and the methodology. I think you mentioned, Mary, you're looking for a method of how to do this stuff. And I'm acting as if I am a director working with an actor who has a very difficult soliloquy. Okay. And theater, we must remember that theater is very grounded in a body and a voice in the same room with you. And it's very direct and not that abstract compared to cinema. And we learned very early on in cinema that stage actors on film look terrible. They do, they sound quite phony. You remember in silent films, all those big gestures, and then when they got sound, the voices sounded really horrifying.
Except for Patrick Stewart.
Pardon me?
Except for Patrick Stewart.
Except for Patrick Stewart. But he, yes, but I'm talking about the film technique, the emerged, and we got, you know, we had a flat screen, we had close-ups, we had zooming out, we had a whole different kind of vocal technique that was required. Because the stage technique looked false in front of a camera. And then TV came along, and TV we have flat screens, we have close-ups, we have a different kind of, we have soundtracks, and we have laughter, canned laughter, and we have commercials. So it's a very different kind of rhythm. So you may have a half an hour program punctuated by five commercials. So it's a different kind of energy entirely. It's extremely abstract, just as I believe film acting is much more abstract than theater performance. Now we're in the virtual era. And I think this is interesting because we're not just watching TV. We are now watching actors or newscasters or whoever. We are now performers in our own productions. This is a very different kind of interplay than I believe humanity has ever had to deal with. And we're not doing it particularly well, I think, because if we look at our culture, it's virtually on in its death throes right now. And I think so this is my big spiel, and I'm gonna shut up and start paying attention to this marvelous opportunity that Marco has offered us to reflect upon these different kinds of technique. And I think we have to find another kind of technique. And I think that's what I'm working on right now. And trying to create the weave of other voices here, like Mary's talking about the lyrical and that methodology and what Zachary has already said. I think we're in and I've talked about this with Marco before, this confusion between the virtual and the analog. Enhanced by the digital is not the same as the virtual. I think we get that confused quite a bit. And there's a big difference between the virtual, these flat screens that we're communicating now through the microphones. There's a big difference between that and the subtle and the imaginal. I've heard some people say the virtual is just gonna gobble up the subtle. I think that's very flawed and dangerous kind of thinking. But I do think it's a real danger. Now, having said all that, I hope some of that made sense. I'm trying to figure this out myself as I speak. What I liked about Marco's performance, I'm calling it a performance because it was a performance. I like your courage. I like your energy. I like your theatricality. I like your modesty as you declare that you are a novice in this practice, as all of us are. What I don't like, and I'm saying this because I know Marco knows that I love him dearly. Because you can only, I have to be in a very loving state to offer this. And I wouldn't do this if I didn't know the person extremely well. Okay. Loud and monotonous. Not enough dynamics. Externally focused, strangely enough, his voice. But his eyes are closed. Your eyes are closed. And you're making these kinds of gestures. What I want more of, I want less sound and more sense. I want a clear enunciation of the text. I want gestures that catch the rhythms of the text. I want a sense of a through line. I want to build. I want something to build. I want a climax. And I want the performer to be, I want, the, it's like there's that old truism about the singer sings. You don't want the singer to be singing in front of the music. You want the singer to be singing behind the music. And then in you prefaced your performance with some very interesting remarks. You want the poem as a chant vehicle, an experience of my voice, a making of ecstasy. Standing outside sense, sending outside, I think that's what you said, Trent made notes of ambient chi. I love that idea, ambient chi. But I hope I can persuade you to change your mind. I don't think this should be an experience of your personal voice or a chant vehicle. Maybe I'm wrong and you can certainly reject this. And do your own thing or do something entirely different. And to make this concrete as possible, the old theater actor in me, I'm so enamored of some of the poets that you've that are echoed in this text: Ginsberg, Eliot, Wordsworth, of the ones that I jotted down. I'm sure there are many others. These are all heroes of mine, but I hear a voice, but in your performance, I hear a voice that I don't think should be there, and it's Yeats. I think Yeats, you know, what is that thing about Eines Frühe? I go to Eines Frühe, you can hear that shrimp, you can hear that voice, it vibrates all the time, you know. That was a very, that was, you must remember that in Yeats was taken to task by T.S. Eliot and Ezra Pound. They did not like the way he did poetry. They did not like his voice. And Yeats, of course, didn't like the way they did it either. They were the great modernists, but he was coming from a different theater tradition where that was quite common, where people half spoke, half sang. To be or not to be, that is the question. But it quickly became very unnatural to the next generation, just as I'm sure the acting techniques that we perform in the movies and the plays, whatever, you know, a couple of decades from now will look really weird. Just as if you look at the 70s or the 80s, that you can see a sort of style of performance that looks very unique to that period. So I'm just bringing that up, because I think it comes across to me as very unorganic. It's something you've stuck on because you love W.B. Yeats. That's not a good enough reason. I think you need to model very carefully from previous poets what you want. And because I think the way we model our beloved performers or poets or writers, you don't want to take from them the stuff that's toxic. Like, I love Hemingway, some of his prose, but I don't like the person at all. And I think that to model Hemingway, to go out and buy some shotguns and go shoot herds of elephants in Africa would be the wrong thing for me to do. So I'm not interested in the behavior of a particular writer. Anyway, pardon me if I digress, but I think it's good to get everything out on the table, and then we can sort of reorganize as a group about what we want to have happen. And I'm very confident that Marco will take this feedback and do with it what he will. And I'm very curious about that. But I just, if you will give me permission, in the beginning there was darkness over the face of the deep. That's it, you're echoing the Bible there. And I was a child and I was stardust and I was a lie and I am. I just want to do a kind of a phase space. Do I have your permission to do this with you, Marco? Sure. Is this okay? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to put one hand here in front of you and one hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Close. So you can hear your voice.
Like Vader.
Okay, Luke, use the force.
And I want you to direct your voice to your ear. Okay. This is a conversation between your voice and your ear.
Oh,
I think you need to cup your ear a little bit more, Marco. We could all try this.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's it. Oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Right,
okay, Marco?
Yep.
Can you do that?
I've got the effect.
Okay. I was a child. Can you say that?
I was a child.
And I was stardust.
And I was stardust.
And I was a lie.
And I was a lie.
And I am.
And I am.
Now do it with the other side. Do it this way.
Hello.
No. Okay.
Okay.
Can you do that line again?
In the beginning, there was nothing, and I am. In the beginning, it was all for naught, and I am. In the beginning, there was darkness over the face of the deep, and I was a child, and I was stardust, and I was a lie, and I am.
Okay, now put your hands down, and with your eyes open, feeling your center, I want you to connect to this group. With your eyes open, bring the intimacy as you contacted, as you listened to your own voice. Bring that intimacy into this virtual space. Whenever you're ready.
In the beginning, there was nothing, and I am. In the beginning, it was all for naught, and I am. In the beginning, there was darkness over the face of the deep, and I was a child, and I was stardust, and I was a lie. And I am.
Very good. Now I just want to add something to this, okay? I felt like you were connecting to my interior rather than to my eardrums, okay? There's a difference between the external and the internal and the interior. So I felt like you were resonating with my interior. I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt it was a totally different quality. Mary and Zach, I don't know what you're picking up on that. We all have different responses, and each reading of this will be a different reading. But I want to enter into a phase space with you, okay? Like this is like a character man. And I might ask you a few clean questions with your permission. Mm-hmm. If nothing comes up for you, that's fine. But I'm interested in where you were perceiving this from. Okay, so start again. I will ask the questions. I may interrupt you, but go for it.
Okay. In the beginning, there was nothing, and I am. In the beginning, it was all for naught, and I am. In the beginning, there was darkness over the face of the deep, and I was a child, and I was stardust, and I was a lie, and I am.
And I was a child, and when I was a child, what kind of child?
Can I just make a point here? Because we're quadruple and quintuple clicking into a very sacred and personal space. And I just, for one, want to make sure that you're okay with this, Marco. That, you know, that we're not stepping, we're not just going to trumpet our way under the auspices of courage at any expense, at any time, in any form. When, for me, this is sacred ground, you know?
It is sacred ground, I agree with you. And I thought I had Marco's permission.
Yeah, you do, and it is. And my ambition is to write the best poem that I can write. And so any feedback you give me, I will take toward that purpose. And I'm okay to be deconstructed.
Okay.
As long as I can put myself back together again.
Like, yes, you will.
Humpty Dumpty.
Zachary, those are very wise words. And I've worked with Marco about 4 or 5 years in many different contexts, some of them very violent. And I've always found Marco and our relationship to be a supportive one. So his artistry and the development of his artistry is very, very important. And his safety and security, and all of our safety and security, is important as well. But we can't be so safe that nothing interesting happens. Okay. So I want to be safe enough so that we'll do something interesting rather than what we already know how to do pretty well. So I'm trying to get back to where we were. I was a child. Anything else about that child?
Well, I think in terms of the poem, that line, although I didn't know it when I wrote it, is prefiguring the bulk of part two, the beginning of part two, okay. Which is...
I'm going to make a comment. You're going meta.
Yeah.
You're not in a perceptual space.
Right.
And I think there's a relationship between that and your comments earlier about the body and not feeling embodied. Where is a child? When I am a child, whereabouts is it? Is it on the inside, the outside? Does it have a size or a shape?
It's like a whole body experience of being unselfconscious, being kind of moving freely, exploring things, being outside of like a sense of scheduled time, calendar time.
Can you point your finger to it or put your hand on it?
It's all like really in my gut.
Okay, in your gut.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. And I was stardust. Where about stardust?
That's kind of all around here. It takes a kind of more spacious kind of quality to it.
And does it have a size or a shape when all around?
It's sort of a cloud.
Uh-huh.
The cloud, it's also a reference to, you know, like the idea that we're made of stardust, that our molecules are literally made of stardust. And that's sort of, you know, that comes, to me, it came through Carl Sagan. And
right, and you're going meta again.
I am, but it's part of it. It's supposed to work on both levels. It's supposed to be mental and also physical.
And
metaphysical.
And thank you. And I was a lie. Whereabouts is that lie?
The lie is probably at like the head area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The head, the face.
Okay. The head area and the face and the stardust. and the child in the gut. And I am. And when I was a child, and I was stardust, and I was a lie, is there anything else about that I, which was a child, which was stardust, and which was a lie?
The I is confessing, in a sense. Casting off perhaps like stories that it, beliefs, conceptions, myths that it may have held about itself, its own identity, and it's kind of exploding that identity.
So you're exploding that identity. Thank you very much. And once again, I'm learning how to do this, because we're not in a theater and we're not face to face. Our bodies are separated and we're on these flat screens and we're, you know, like this. And our voices are sort of distorted by the technology. But I just want to do one thing else. This is a gesture. Gesture number one. This is gesture number two. I'm going to give you two words, and I'm wondering if you could match the word with the gesture. Can, can't.
Sure. So can, can't.
Great. How do you know that?
It's a correspondence between the sound and the movement.
Ah, a correspondence between the sound and the movement. And I believe there's a relationship between that and the analog and the digital and the virtual.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like every gesture that you make while you're performing this piece, it comes from a perceptual space rather than some idea. Because I think it was, I don't know who said it, but we don't write with ideas. We write with words, but those words are embodied, can be embodied, and come from, out of a very robust perceptual experience, which then helps us function at meta levels much more effectively. So thank you for this opportunity to rehearse. And I could say a whole lot more, but I'm not going to, because this is taking me to the next level for myself. In my communications with others, I'm drawing upon cognitive linguistics and clean language and symbolic modeling and all the therapy I did, all the body work I did, Reiki and Alexander technique and Feldenkrais method. So I'm putting together my own model or models. And I'm very eager that they be of use and perhaps even delight to other persons. But there's of course no guarantee of that. And we're presenting in this virtual space, which is very different from if we were hanging out in a conference room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a relationship, I believe, between those two different kinds of experiences. So I hope this has been useful for you. I'm really looking forward to what happens next and how you can put together all of these, the different kinds of feedback that you're getting. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, John.
That was Borges who said that, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Jorge Luis Borges. Yeah.
Now I don't have to spend all day looking that one up. Thank you, yeah. Mary.
Pretty sure, anyway.
I have a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd like to hear. I'm interested in yours, Zachary.
And just for the sake of our process, I really appreciate what you bring to this, Johnny, and I think it's really valuable what you're offering, Marco. I really do. And I do think that one of the things I also got from the piece, Marco, is that, not to toot this group's horn, but it felt like the piece had been in a vacuum and it was a group to really come back to bring air to it was so valuable. That's what I felt. Like I wanted it to be bounced around in the multiple perspectival soup. And I think what Johnny was offering in terms of that deep dive was also very valuable. Yeah, I want to make sure I go where I want to go here. There was a piece just in that process for me that felt like that could have been a breakout group, you know, because I'm highly attuned to group work and to individual work. And I know that there's like a portion of the individuals who are not involved in a dyad that's created like that, that gets a little bit marginalized. And then I often feel that there will be a piece of the individual who's being clean questioned, let's say, that gets inhibited under increasing number of gazes. Now, I know that in the theatrical tradition, right, it's important just to kind of work with that. And that's part of what we're doing. But I want to make sure that that we're aware of what we're doing, that we're aware that we're doing that. Because I, you know, just to your point, Johnny, about being safe, you know, and being sensitive to that, that is a lesson that has been hard won for me in my life by being extremely unsafe and incredibly cavalier and incurring tremendous amounts of delay and trauma and you name it as a result of really not, you know, thinking that going faster and quicker through some of these things is making a headway when in fact it can not always be that clear. So I just want to say that under the same umbrella that I think what Johnny was speaking to was really valuable, you know, in terms of the performance and in terms of, you know, your pronouncements.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, I'll just say a few more things that I thought really were interesting. And I actually have like I might give you a brief commentary of, I made quite semi-extensive notes on the poem itself. I did get as many references as Johnny did, but then I'm not, poetry is my least expertise of the literary arts. But I really felt like, you know, it was like you were back to this idea of channeling the archetype. You know, this was like a Gregorian chant for me. And that's why I say it was distinct from the poem itself. You know, this was the Gurdjieffian almost in a way. It was like a spell that you were casting upon yourself. And I definitely felt like it was more personal. I want to come back to that it very, very much felt like I was a peeping Tom in something as opposed to a co-conspirator in it. And I could still be a co-conspirator in it because I'm going through my own process and there's so many valuable things in it. But once again, to what Johnny was mentioning, like that, that's like piercing connection. Like you were piercing up. And I wanted to feel more here. And to also echo something that was mentioned. And this comes back to the idea of the archetype. It's almost like, and once again, here we are, like, I want to be so sensitive and honoring of the fact that you're just channeling the archetype at all. You know, that's people spend their whole lives attempting to do that and never coming close to it. So there's a strange thing here that we're like offering critiques and feedback in the midst of this miraculous experience, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And for me, I would really love to see this thing through to whatever degree I can. But, you know, from the get-go, you were in archetype almost. It's almost like the introduction should have been part of the performance to a certain degree. And the fact that I wanted the story of how we get to that archetype, because it spontaneously combusted, went from 0 to 100 and then maintained. And that to a certain degree is completely inhuman, you know, it marginalizes the pathetic creatures that we are. Right. And comes, you know, what we don't want to do is we want to set that archetype in stone, or rather in a clasp, like a diamond, like the caviar of the meal in some way. And it can be sparse, you know, throughout the whole thing, but there's something about it that I was really interested in that echoed for me, you know, the Christ path, and of course our great Zarathustra, who we love. And what was kind of interesting for me is I've for the first time reading Nietzsche's, or rather Jung's charges that he leveled against Nietzsche with regards to this. And I'd never heard this before, and of course it makes quite perfect sense, but he was really referring to Zarathustra as part of Nietzsche's inflation, which was a shock to me. And even referring back to Christ himself as having an archetypal inflation that was kind of exhibited in his final utterance at the break and realization perhaps of the collapse of that inflation when he said, "Why have thou forsaken me?" And suddenly right at the end that the humanness comes through. So I'm really interested in the connection and the evolution between the archetype and the divine and the druid and the man. Mm-hmm. This may not be that kind of poem, and that would be fine too. And once again, I know you're going to do exactly what you're going to do, and really I'm just talking here, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, I really was interested in, and then maybe I'll segue into the actual poem and some of the notes that I made, because I did make just a few, not too long. Because it was something to do with that. It's something to do with the humanness. You know, it's like here we have the divine. We really have an expression of the divine. And I want to know where Marco is in that. I want to know where the humanness, where the pathetic, smelly, just miserable human being exists in relationship to that. Some way, shape, or form. Because it adds a little bit of air, and it, you know, one of the things that Jung also said was that, like, Zarathustra was this, like, and I mean, I love Zarathustra. I mean, Zarathustra's been one of the books that it just sits by my bedside. I mean, that's it's like, he said, you know, like, Nietzsche really shouted to the rafters. He really screamed. And that's the way to make, that's the response of someone who's not being heard, and who doesn't even know how to hear. Because, of course, you know that when you actually want to be heard, you speak lower. You whisper a little bit, and then they have to lean in. These are common sense understandings that we all know. And of course, going back to Nietzsche's life, we realize he wasn't heard. Yeah, he was miserable. You know, he had no friends. And the more you kind of look at that whole process as a psychological...
But you can't reduce it to the psychological. That, I mean, that's the... Oh. I think the shadow of, like, that kind of approach to literature, because, you know, we could look at Nietzsche, we could look at Freud, we could look at Jung himself and try to discern, like, what are the kind of psychodynamic causes for their theories or for their, you know, particular productions. And I know that those are there. I know that very intimately, that this is at one level, this is me working out my, you know, my inhibitions, my hangups, my relationship between self and world and self and others. And this is my way of kind of reconfiguring that. And on another level, I believe that the piece is its own, like, its own work, and it has its own internal logic that I'm more or less a servant to. Like, I have some ability to play within it and with it, but at the end of the day, the shape that it takes, like how the words land on the page, they have to work for that, for the transcendent aspect of it. And I think the other thing too, I mean, just to respond to one aspect of the personal being in it or out of it, it is like deliberately and for me almost comically like inflationary, like that's part of like the performative aspect of saying I am the singularity, is to invite a kind of sense of inflation or a perception of inflation. It's to make a bold claim. It's, I mean, like the kind of thing that a marketer would do, you know, to get your attention. And then to, you know, lead you into a story of some kind. And so that's what I do. But I don't really sort of lead into it in a kind of narrative way, like setting it up, like who am I, and to make this claim, and you know, what's this all about? However, the way that I understand this poem is not just kind of on its own, but also as like a one part, one aspect of a larger kind of body of work. And even, you know, concretely that it being a poem in a book, so there being other poems around it that are going to be different than this one and complement it or refer to it or support it in some way or and vice versa. It's more of an ecology in that sense. And I think in addition to that, it's, I also feel that this poem is almost impossible, like without cosmos, like without the relationships and the conversations that we have cultivated over the years. There was a germ of this before then, but a lot of what that germ has kind of become has been informed by the work that we've done together through this. And especially in part two, I'm in a way really drawing on that, even if it may not be totally apparent. And I do, and I think that as far as the architecture of the piece, I mentioned in my introduction to the video that I recorded that I really do like see like the overall and structure of it. And it's like already written in my mind and like, I just can't access the whole thing. I wish that I could and just write it down and then like be done with it. But there's also seems to be some kind of proving process like that. Like I have to live with it long enough that I feel very integrated with it and that I know kind of like where it's going. I do think like this is like, and I got this from a Weird Studies, a couple of Weird Studies episodes I just listened to. I hadn't listened to their podcast in a while and I picked up a couple of the ones that they did on Jung. And it was a two-parter. It was good because he's talking about the art as a kind of, I mentioned this in a post to Johnny, a sort of autonomous complex that in a way uses the artist as like soil substrate, like nutriment in order to grow itself. And that's how I experience this very much so. And so that distinction between the person Marco Morelli and the poem, I Am the Singularity, like that's an important one. And part of the kind of double bind of it is that in order to write the poem, to some degree, I have to blur that distinction and I have to sort of give myself, Marco the person has to give himself to this archetypal being that is sort of articulating itself, you know, like telling a story about itself, which is really meant to be a sort of a, like not just a personal story. Like it's
I just want to add something to that. That's a brilliant insight. And thank you, Zachary, for bringing that up, the personal and the archetypal. But I, as an actor, and I've been around a lot of actors, you need to be able to differentiate from the archetype, okay? Or you will go mad. The curtain will come down. You will take off your makeup and put on your costume, and you will go out and get drunk or shoot up drugs or beat the shit out of your wife or your boyfriend or whatever, because you played Othello, and you had that experience of murdering someone on stage. But that's where I think we do need to be able to enter into the weave of these archetypes, but they don't use us, we use them, okay? Because they have a lot of juice, they have a lot of power. They're templates laid down by our ancient ancestors. And these templates, but somebody had to make these templates. So I'm much more interested in, this is my personal preference, less interested in the archetypes, Jungian or otherwise, the universal archetypes, these templates that have been laid down. I'm much more interested in the unique and the idiosyncratic, the uncanny and the weird. And this is something that's, you know, the singularity, I think, of each of us. I think that is one of the things we need to release ourselves, I think, in many ways from the archetypes. But I think there are more than one archetype that is already here that I feel like you haven't given voice to. And that's the child, the stardust, the lie or the liar. These are archetypal energies as well, characters. And right now I feel like you've drowned them all out by this druid bard with a very big voice, you know, on top of the mountain. And you and I have been reading Milton for the last year, and I no wonder that this comes through. But I think, as you know, as has been saying Milton, there are many different voices in Milton. And I think that you could bring that training, actually. I think you've been training yourself to differentiate those different voices in Milton and bring this into your own performance. And I don't separate the performer from the text in any meaningful way. I think they overlap considerably. So I'm really glad that we're having this opportunity. And that's, once again, theatricality. That's what I really like about what you're doing. And I hope you can do that theatricality, but do it better.
I agree. I think there's something really, I think there's something really deep in what Johnny just said about the theatrical, but something that you do, the transmission that you're doing, that's what's really amazing. And just to qualify the whole, I hope if I had in some ways insinuated that Jung reduced Nietzsche or Zarathustra purely to the psychological, that was not my intent. You know, Zarathustra, he's, you know, 1400 transcribed pages of lectures over years that Jung did on Zarathustra. So there was no reduction, even if he saw these things to be true. And I do believe they are true, but it does not in any way overshadow the genius of the man or the miraculous nature of what he produced. So I just want to be really clear. This, once again, something I said before, it's like, here we are, like, not quite nitpicking, but making observations about something in the midst of like an element of the sun itself. So let's not forget that as we bandy around the word archetype like it's some small little thing. It's a big deal and it's beautiful. And I echo Johnny that I personally, for one, would love to see that transmission archetype performance continue to evolve, because it's special.
I love that. And Mary, we haven't heard your lyrical voice in a while. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if there's anything you want to share, we have like 15 minutes left, and I just want to honor our time.
Yeah.
Am I correct? I was late, so I apologize. We could go over if we want to. But.
Yeah, sorry, I just moved myself because there was lots of church bells outside my window. They always go off at 6.
Is this lyrical enough for you? A little more or a little less? Or
this has all been really interesting. What else do we want to, is there anything else we need to get done in the last 15 minutes?
We can skip over our stuff. I mean, I hope you appreciate how much we've enjoyed this, Marco, and kind of all chomping at the bit, certainly, to like keep jumping things in. I have a couple more little tiny elements.
I have one more question. So we can do that in the next 15 minutes. I would be very satisfied.
I'll get mine done in like 2 minutes. And maybe I'll send this to you, Marco. You might not make head or tail of it, but there was so much of it I like. But this is my kind of a few little line points. The storm approaches. I want to know what storm. Because I know this is only part one. Part one and half of part two. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to savor the chrysalis and the collapse. That's meaningful to me, like personally, to the author. Serve the sentence executed. I mean, you know, I know they have multiple meanings, but it's like there's derivative language in this, and perhaps not, maybe the poem is going to be it's pure chocolate state all the way through. Nothing, you know, that would be fine too. I know what it is to have a piece that's just like, it's its own archetypal thing. And if that's the case, no problem. That's great. There were a couple of, I wasn't sure if they were intentional or if they were slips in the archetype where the human came through. I have a good life, it's true. That doesn't sound to me like the archetype. And there was another one. Where was it? Anyway, there were two, what I would call switches out of the archetype. That was one. what I have is not enough. It's child's play, kids stuff, an esoteric empire, da, da, da. I mean, there's pain in here, you know? And so it's like, it's interesting that I know the archetype is speaking, but there's pain in there. I want to know. It's like, it's speaking to the child. I want to hear the child, like, what I have is not enough. I mean, that there's something incredible in that. Even if it's the archetype saying, it's incredible. Oh, here it is. This a man pays for his poetry with his life, I suppose. The archetype didn't say that. At least
I highlighted that line too. I loved it.
I love the line. I love the line. But the man says that. An archetype doesn't say, I suppose. It's like Bukowski at the bar, you know. Balms for altering. All of that I really enjoyed. Here it is. A train horn blows, growing louder. Something is coming in this. I want to know what's coming. Like when I read that, I'm like, the train's coming, man. I want this thing to hit me head on. I'll say one more last piece. I'll just skip the rest. Blank purposes with entangled intents. Blank purposes with entangled intents. Through blind circumstances in rainbow bodies. Like that for me is important language. Like what that needs to be unpacked. If it's not unpacked in some way, if it's not in some way touched upon, then it becomes a blind spot that leaked out potentially. Flowers were empowered then, loved that. Wanton birds, morning crash, loved it. I mean, there's so much here. I just colored it with all the areas that I loved. The whole ending of the part, at least what we got, was Om is our home. Like that whole thing I really, really love. And then the final couple of lines, and we signified our lives to civilize the beast who comes in our sleep. I want to know that beast. To civilize the beast that comes in our sleep. Like that's, who's the beast? Beast is not the child. Is the beast the shadow? Is the beast the man? Like, I want to know. So I got excited by all of that. The train, the storm coming, the beast, the tangled intents. That for me was, got wet my appetite for what could be the continuation of the triptych. Amen.
Thank you.
Welcome. Mary, did you want to speak?
There was, I really loved, let's see if I can find it. The implacable goods and services. That was a little, like sometimes, so this poem is sometimes up, I think maybe Zachary expressed it as up in archetypal things, and then, but it's also reflecting down into our broken and finite world and giving us a wry perspective on it. And for me, that was one of these sort of moments, looking down through the clouds at, and yeah, it was kind of a little dig, a little commentary, I like that on what we've got on the earthly reality that we're living in.
A little dig is like a demolition.
Yeah. that's mostly what those are the things I had especially flagged. But there's a lot, like Zachary says, there's a lot that could be highlighted in the whole thing. So.
I have a summary question. I think the Ursula Le Guin said that trust your audience, trust your characters, trust yourself. I think I'm going to add trust your colleagues in a writing circle also. There's an element of trust and safety and risk. I think if people are safe enough, they will take risks. And I hope that we will all continue to do so, because I think it's really important if we're going to have vibrant, exciting, creative writing that we take these risks. And what's happening now in the session is of great interest to me, but also it's what's happening between the sessions that is even more interesting to me. Because when this is over, then what happens? How do we go back to our writing projects, and how do we think about our reading as well, and the culture that we're making together. So I have one question, and I've used this question many times at the end of a session. So it's a bit studied, but I think it's interesting. And I'm asking Marco to give us feedback on our feedback. Okay. So what do you know now, Marco, that you didn't know before this session? And what difference does knowing that make?
And also individually, if you feel to, not just general. So we, you know, we feel implicated in how well or poorly we've served you.
First of all, it's, I was looking forward to this, because I spend a fair amount of time working on my poetry, but not too much time, like sharing it, reading it, promoting it, etc. Like I, probably spend more time reading and promoting other people's work. And I like it that way. That's for me a good arrangement. But I think that part of what I think is also, what I think is clearer to me now that was less clear before, that's not exactly an answer to the question, but it's kind of just sidestepping it slightly, is that what I believe that I'm doing and where I believe the poem is going is, it's like partially apparent. Like it's almost like that there's, it's like that, like the something about it is not clear. It's not getting through. Like, and that, but that I don't feel is a problem with the poem. I feel that it's part of its like incompleteness, that I feel and hear things in it that are not yet written down. Like I hear sort of the future echo of like how certain lines come back and that they make sense sort of in retrospect. You have to have a sense of the whole in order to appreciate the parts. And then, you know, if it's like, if because there's a performance going on that's like, it's an incomplete performance. And like, I'm like trying to do this. It's not like just naturally happening. Like, it's because I made a decision. I'm going to mute some echo testing. Okay. It's because I made a decision. Like I want to write a poem of a certain kind. Like I want to write a poem that achieves something, like that exemplifies something, that like has sort of something to say in a wider conversation, like in a bigger conversation, like in the, like it's a dialogue with poetry. It's a dialogue with these poets whose echoes you hear. And it's my way of responding to them. But that's also part of the poem. It's like a howl. When you hear howling at night, you don't just hear one howl. You hear multiple howls. And you hear them calling and responding to each other. And in a way, that's how we hear each other. Like this is hearing across this vast night, you know, this dark night of our souls. And it's meant to be my personal howl, but also to partake in an archetypal howl that, you know, like if I succeed, then the listener, the reader will feel both. Like they'll feel the archetypal force that they can relate to and sort of translate into their personal terms. But then they'll also recognize, well, that's Marco's howl. Like I couldn't have written that. Nobody else could have written. Like he had to live through the things that he says there. He had to work out those rhymes, those rhythms, those alliterations. He had to work all that out. And that's so, I think that part of what really for me is like, is mostly unshared is the personal. And that's for me, only the sweetest part, and kind of what I feel I have to, I said, I'm clearing my throat. It's like, I have to get all this stuff out in order to sink down and be more intimate. But I also have like, want to prove something, like, and to me, it's like an alternative to, you know, I've said this before, I haven't gone to school, like I haven't gone to higher postgraduate education, like I did college, and that's where I studied Nietzsche and all those guys. And, but I want to have like my own sort of markers, like this is my masterpiece, really, like in that sense of, this is like what I can do. And it's just the beginning, like it's just to get in the sort of like to get to the next level, to like be recognized, okay, he's a poet, he can write poetry, he knows what he's doing. And you know, it's like taking my place in the world, basically, you know, like, which I haven't, I'm 45 years old and I haven't really done that yet. I'm still kind of a child and I'm just growing up, you know, I'm becoming an adult, becoming a man. And a lot of part two, as like, I think as the rest of it comes out, will maybe you'll see that how that unfolds in the poetry, like in the specific like through line of it, because there is definitely a through line. And it's I realize what I didn't know earlier is just how unobvious it is to me. What seems obvious is not obvious to others. Like if I say in the beginning, like there was not, like it's totally like it's the Bible, it's Genesis, it's like I'm also like invoking like Jehovah, like I'm invoking this, you know, this God the Father kind of thing. And and I'm doing that purposefully because I'm also sort of like deconstructing those narratives. I'm sort of staking a new course, I'm staking a new claim to authority and to like who gets to use the logos, like who gets to embody the logos, who gets to be the word. That's what I'm claiming here, like to say I am the singularity is to like assert my, you know, my kind of divine right, you know, to speak. And I mean, that's a kind of, you know, for some people it's very easy to do. For me, it's a big leap. And that's the whole, I think, drama of the poem, perhaps, is the leap from silence to speech, or from, you know, pain to ecstatic howling.
But I also, what I learned was something about when we were doing that practice together. I was a child, and I was stardust, and I was a lie. There were pauses that I did not hear in the performance that you offered. And I think those pauses, a lot is going on in those pauses. And I think that's where the silence and the speech and what holds it all together, that's where I think the possibility of a through line will start to emerge for your listeners and your readers. Okay. And I think, I don't know exactly how the poet does this, but I've read a lot of poetry and I've acted in a lot of it. And I think that's going to be very different from each performance and each person and each reading, but I think it's a capacity to catch rhythms. I hope we get that becomes contagious here, that we're able to catch each other's rhythms. I think it's extremely important because I'm catching your vibes and you're catching my vibes and we're all in this space together. And we're all working on many different levels and and these are very layered communications that we're offering to one another in our writing and in our speaking about our writing. So I'll sign off now because I want to respect other people's time. Unless people want to go on, I'll hang out if that's something people want to go, because I was late today. So that
I do have to get going soon. I'm babysitting for a friend later tonight, so I can't stay too long.
I've got maybe a minute or two left. just wanted to quickly say, Mary, I really appreciate your presence here and your feedback.
Oh, thanks.
I just want to really make that clear, because I felt like even today, like, you know, me and Johnny are so enthusiastic about Marco's work. This kind of almost felt like we were subtle body elbowing ourselves out of the way to give our feedback. And
it was fun.
And when your voice comes in, it's of such a different timbre and tone and gender, with all of the wonderful things that that brings, that I just wanted to keep really welcoming you to this space, because it feels like the right kind of bouquet that we need to balance out.
Thank you.
The testosterone.
Do we need to make plans for 2 weeks from now? In any sense, or?
I would love to see more from you, Mary, also. I might have something ready. I've got the next part. It's not good enough for this group, and I'm going to try to see if I can get it to be good enough, a good enough draft that I would feel I was not disrespecting the time and wisdom of this group. So I'm working pretty much daily at it.
I have some snatches of dialogue that are coming through that I think a story is starting to emerge. I could share a little bit of my process, rather than having a finished product, but it'd definitely be something, a first draft kind of thing. But there's some scenes that are coming through really clearly, and I've got them down, but there are rats in the wall. Okay. I'm hearing all these different sounds, and I'm trying to take good notes. So anyway, that's a possibility. So
okay. We'd love to provide those rats with cheese, John.
Yeah.
And also, I really would love to hear your feedback. I don't, you know, I, depending on how other people feel about this, I'm okay to wait. But of course, if other things come in and suddenly it's in a queue that never gets met, perhaps there's
right. That's why I was so disappointed by this technology. It's these hiccups that's happened a lot with me. And I don't know if it's because I'm using two different browsers that are with two different saved passwords, and they're like popping up all over. I don't know what's going on, but because I don't like it. I wish we could bypass the password thing.
You're phasing through too many dimensions.
I could just enter.
Once, Johnny.
I'm sorry, what?
I said what? You're phasing through too many dimensions at once, Johnny.
Oh, that's not going to stop anytime soon, I'm afraid. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, I hope it doesn't happen.
Like 2 weeks from now, why don't we start with hearing John's feedback from the first week, and then move on to discuss one or two other things.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I love the poetics that we're all engaged in. I think this is extremely important right now, that we be giving one another this kind of attention, this quality of attention. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys, you know, watching or listening to that whole thing and reading through the piece. It's a lot, I think, of material, actually. I mean, it's not dozens of pages, but it's dense. And
we believe in you. We believe in you, Marco.
We want more.
Thank you.
That's right. Happening.
No, it needs to come out. We want it.
And I want to watch this video again. I hope you'll post it soon. And
yes.
I can take notes, and I can also reorganize some of the notes that I took previously to offer to Mary and to Zach next time.
You know, you have to be careful, Mary, with Johnny, because he watches these things four times over and he charts all of our micro movements through the conversation. So just
I do.
Really
oh, no.
I'm serious. I do that.
Don't pick your nose.
I'm very, very weird. I admit that. I'm really weird. It's getting worse every day. So.
Very welcome.
Better.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Cool.
Bye.
See you guys in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Stay strong and healthy, everybody.
Stay insane.
We'll try.